So I want you to take a very clear look at God's Word this evening about this subject of why is it so hard to be consistent in prayer? And I hope that we can answer that question with some biblical thoughts tonight from these nine verses in Psalm 91. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now let that thought, that's the first thought that he gives here, and then he's going to describe what he's talking about, dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy, now understand this word, habitation, your dwelling place. And we're going to get into the description of His dwelling place because there's some interesting images that the Lord gives us here in this passage that I think will help us to understand our lack of willingness to go this next step that I'm going to talk about tonight in this matter of taking time for prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the encouragement of Your Word, the encouragement for us to dwell in Thy secret place, to be under the shadow of Your hand, to be under Thy wing and Thy feathers, to escape the fowler who would seek to destroy. Lord, I pray that You would awaken us to the need that we all have as believers in Christ to spend time with Thee, that prayer is not primarily asking things of Thee. Prayer is primarily dwelling in Thy habitation, being in Your presence. And I pray that You would awaken our hearts to this truth tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to focus in tonight on a couple of things, but I want to walk you through where we've been thus far on this study and get you up to the fourth point that I want to dwell on tonight about our closeness to the Lord, being in His presence, and why that's such a difficult thing for us. Last time that we looked at the first of these four things, we often pray for things that we do not receive. So what is our response? We don't pray. Well, I didn't get it last time, so I don't pray. Now, that is such shallow thinking, is it not? Because you did get an answer. You're lying to yourself when you say, well, I didn't get what I asked for. Now, you got what the Lord wanted for you. Isn't that what this is all about? Going into the Lord's presence, we bring our prayers and petitions to Him, and then He tells us how He's going to respond. So He responded, and you didn't like it, so now you don't pray. That is a very, very shallow and, I would say, unbiblical approach. Number two, there is an apprehension on our part to purposefully put ourselves in the presence of God. Put ourselves in the presence of God. Now, I know what the Bible says, that God is everywhere, and that there's no place that we can go as far as the east is from the west and escape His presence. But what we're talking about here is purposefully going into His place to commune with Him. All right? That's the point that I'm trying to make. This communion with God that He desires from His children to be in His presence. And we're going to look at the picture of this tonight as the fourth point. And the reason that we're uncomfortable is because a lot of people say, well, that's mysticism. This whole thing of, you know, going into the presence of God, that's mysticism, and that makes me a little uncomfortable. And yet we're perfectly comfortable connecting ourselves with this world. Go figure. You're comfortable connecting yourself with this world and the pursuits of what this world says is pleasure and the pursuit of those things that the world says you ought to be pursuing. You're perfectly fine with that, but you call mystical the things of going into His presence. Again, what is coloring your thinking? Is it biblical truth or your truth? Because that's the failure that we all face. Number three, we didn't pray yesterday and we were fine. Nothing blew up. The old argument of nothing bad happened when I didn't pray, so I can go for 2 or 3 days and not pray and nothing bad's going to happen to me. The old argument of what didn't happen. What's wrong with that? The question is, what did happen when you didn't go into His presence? Well, I brought out last time that the fowler set a trap for you. That's what happened. He set a trap. You didn't trigger it yet. You haven't done that yet. You haven't triggered the trap yet. But you better watch out. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, the Lord talked to the disciples about those who cause offenses. Offend not a little child. That word offense there is the word skandalon. We get our word scandal from it. Skandalon means to trigger the trap. To trigger a trap. Just think of a simple mouse trap. All right, you fold the big lever over and you put it in place and then you put the cheese on top there and everything's all set. And you very carefully move. Cut! What could happen? What could possibly happen? Right? I just scared everybody. Yeah. Yeah. What could possibly happen? You know, you're walking over and you stumble a little bit and whack! How many of that ever happened to you? Yeah, that's happened to me a few times. Trying to get that old rat that's in there. And so you go over there. You don't want to trigger the trap. So you very carefully put it over here. And you set it over there in this little hiding spot, and you wait. And the next day you go out and you go check that trap to see if there's a rat that got trapped last night. But it sure hurts when it comes and lets loose on your finger if you're carrying it, right? Skandalon, to trigger the trap. Now, we argue, well, you know, I didn't pray for a couple of days, nothing big happened. What's all this fuss about prayer? The fuss is that while you were not praying, Satan, your flesh, was setting a trap. Setting the trap. You think you're perfectly fine. Nothing happened, right? Well, what happens when Satan triggers a trap? What happens when your flesh triggers the trap? Then you've got all the consequences that come with that. That's pictured here in this passage of Scripture where it says, verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee, when you're in close relationship with Him, surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now, what is a fowler? Right? A fowler is someone has either has two purposes. One, he's trying to capture a bird to keep and to sell. All right? Or he's trying to trap a bird to eat so the family will have something to eat. Whenever I was in the Philippines, we went up to Sarong Bible Church on top of a mountain, and it took us 2 hours to get up there. We were about 30 minutes outside, and I'm walking along with three other guys, and one of them in front of me puts his hands across my chest, stop. So I stood there, and all of a sudden, to my right, I see what looks like a man working his way through the bush just as fast as he could. He said, wait. So we waited. Well, when we got to the village, 30 minutes later, I met the person that had a big old long blowgun. They were out bird hunting. And it wasn't a man, it was a boy. And I couldn't help but think, what if I had been the target, all right? I was moving through it was so thick, you couldn't hardly tell what was going on. But he was sitting in there just like this, waiting. All right? Now, the fellow that was with me, Pastor Francis, he stopped me. He said, wait. Let's wait and see what's going to happen. And so I was kind of looking around, and he was just nodding his head over there. He didn't want to make a noise other than that. And there it goes. He was working his way through the thicket and heading back up to the village to report back to his family that there was white people coming up the mountain. All right? You don't get any whiter than this guy right here. Okay? I glow in the dark white. Okay? But he went up there. He told his mom. I ended up in their Nipa hut to get out of the rain. And Pastor Francis came at Dumagon. He came up to me and he said, this is the boy that was out hunting. So I asked if I could see his blowgun. And he brought it out to me. It was about this long. And he showed me the dart that was in there. You know, that wouldn't have felt too good. And it's very unlikely that I was going to make it down back to the village again after getting one of those shot through me. He was a fowler. His job was to go and shoot with that little arrow. His mother said he was very good at it. Okay, to shoot a bird and knock it out of the tree, bring it down, defeather it, and cook it for dinner. A fowler. One of two purposes. Keep the bird to sell or to eat. The fowler, we're told in the Word of God, is searching for those that are not walking close to God. They're not under the shadow of His wings, as we're going to see. There's a lot of connections here in this passage. The fowler, the feathers, the wing, the habitation of the Lord, the shadow of the Almighty. There's a thought here that's being produced that we need to get, and that brings me to number four here. Prayer is the closest we get to heaven in the presence of God here on this side of heaven. Prayer is the closest we get to the Lord. The problem is we're not very heavenly minded. We don't get it about getting into the presence of God and walking close to the Lord and getting under the shadow of His wing. We've got the attitude, we got it. We don't have to worry about all this stuff. That's for the high and mighty. That's for the Bible thumpers. That's not for me. No, this is for the child of God. And I want us to look at this thought here. How many of you like chickens? Okay. All right, so it's okay. You can raise your hand. Carly and Donnie keep me posted on all their chickens at their house. Okay. And they keep up with that. And the Hafner girls, they've got chickens. You have some ducks that just hatched. In the process of hatching, all right? So how many you think you'll have? Is there a big mama duck that's waiting around for all this to happen? Oh, they're an incubator, all right. So I've read that anywhere from 12 to 15 chicks can be safely put under a mother hen. Now think about that, 12 to 15, depending on the type. Chicken. I've got two different types here. And you can see one, two, three. There's a fourth one up there, but there's several more that are underneath mama, underneath the wings. Over here, there's one, two, there's a third one you can just barely see inside there, and they're under mama's wings. All right? That's a safe place to be, is it not? To be under the shadow of the mother's wings. Many of you have probably read our Living Stories series, and one of them is the Little Red Hen. And it tells the story of a mama hen who sensed a prairie fire that was coming through, and she gathered all of her chicks around her and put them under her wing. The fire blew through. She was killed. But out from underneath the wings of that chicken came all of her protected chicks. They were all saved. It's supposedly a true story that took place. And I started reading up about how God has made the feathers and the wings of a chicken. All right? I mean, there's something to be learned from a chicken. All right? Not everybody has to, you know, be somebody super smart to teach something. Even a chicken can teach you something. The Bible says go to the ant thou slugger and consider his ways. So we can go to a chicken too, right? So let's look at this. The image of the cover of a mother hen's feathers and wings is striking. Verses 3 through 4. Feathers act as a protector covering for fowl, protecting it from cold, rain, sun, and injury. The feathers have a web of good firm texture, a strong shaft, the barbs, barbules, and barbicels. That's like chainmail on a chicken. Nothing can get through it other than a bullet, obviously. But wind, rain, fire can protect. Knitted together, which provides an amazing protection from a variety of potential calamities. The feathers also serve as what? Camouflage. Now, what's the good thing about camouflage? When I was a kid, this was before the days of all the different colored camouflages that we have blue, and we have red, and we have gray. We've got all these different kinds of camouflage, but you know God had all that before? Chickens. They blend right in with nature. They're varied colors and so forth like that. Baby chicks will gather under the cover of a mother's wings for protection from the elements and from enemies. And one enemy of a chicken and her brood are snakes, right? Foxes, all other birds of prey and so forth like that. And anybody that's had chickens know that snakes can be a problem. They love eggs, right? But do you know a chicken has a way of taking on a snake and winning? I mean, they go after them, that snake takes off running. They don't like being pecked. But that chicken can go nuclear. And that snake's got more than it can deal with. And other birds of prey and other animals and so forth like that. A mother hen will take on whatever enemy comes her way. Wind, ice, water. Calamity, enemies, she'll take them on and she will protect her brood under her wings. Now, isn't it interesting that that's how God chose to explain what it means to dwell in His presence? You've got to get yourself under His wing. Just like a baby chick. The baby chick has got a choice to make. You either get underneath the wing. Because once they're there, the mother hen's not going to just pick up and go get that other one. You've got to come get yourself underneath the wing. And you watch chicks, how they'll do that. The mother hen will go to set. Boom, goes down. She's got little movable doors in the front. And those birds will make their way in there. Those baby chicks will make their way in there. And 12 to 14, 15 get in there. And mama's got it set. Now, God chose to use that illustration for us. You know what the problem is?
I don't need mama hen.
Isn't it amazing how teenagers, when they get to a certain age, all of a sudden they become Mr. and Mrs. Independent? Yeah. I don't need mom and dad anymore. Yeah. I'm smarter than them. Mark Twain was the one that put it best. He said, when I was 15 years old, my old man was the dumbest man I ever met. And by age 21, he was the smartest man I ever met. And he said, the only one that had changed was me. Yeah. We get big for our britches. Listen, God wants us. Now listen to me now. He wants us to realize that gathering in His presence, in His secret place, is for our defense. Let that soak in for just a moment. When I go to Him in prayer, when we meet together and we go to the Lord in prayer, we are all as a corporate church body. We're coming under the shadow of the Almighty and we're spending time in His presence. That's a special relationship. It means we take ownership of the fact that we are not omnipresent. We are not omniscient. We are not omnipotent. What are we? We're completely dependent upon God. And if we've got the mindset that I can do things without God, I didn't pray for a whole week and nothing bad happened to me, what's the big fuss about prayer? You have just set a trap for yourself. The fowler's already come. And the trap has been set for you. And you're going to be the one to suffer the consequences. I watched the video last week of a lady who posted about how she helped a panther get loose from a trap. She cut a piece of plywood board big enough where the foot of the panther that was stuck in the trap. She took the plywood board, put it between herself and the panther, and then slid it back and held it in place while she pulled the jaws open for that panther to get away. Now you talk about brave. I would have been doing something else, I think. Because just don't know what they're going to have me for dinner, you know, or claw me up or something of that nature. But that panther, once she got him loose, the panther pulled back, went back, his limb was broken, and pulled back and sat there and watched her. And she just took the board and she backed away slowly, backed away, and then she slid the board to one side and she just kind of watched to see what was going to happen. And the panther just stood there and then slowly began to turn around and walk away. Now, she saved that panther's life. If it had stayed there for, you know, a week or two, it would have been dead. But she intervened. God is your defense. Do you know how much we need the defense of God in this world today? Do you know how much we need it for our children and for our grandchildren? We need the high tower. We need the buckler. We need the shield. We need the protection, and we cannot ever afford to say, I don't need to be under the shadow of wings. That's pretty flimsy. Oh no, when you're underneath the shadow of His wings, you're perfectly safe. The idea is this, though. You got to want that. You got to want to be that close to your Lord. That, as verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's why the New Testament says, pray without ceasing. This is the other element. New Testament prayer brings in the Old Testament idea. I want to pray without ceasing. I want to be in the presence of the Lord all day long and all night long. I want to dwell in His presence. I want His wings over me. I want His feathers surrounding me. I want to know the warmth of His presence, just like a baby chick wants theirs of their mom. And so this is the picture that's given to us here. He shall cover thee, verse 4, with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And this takes us to the next stage. He makes a connection about being in the presence of God with possessing the truth. I have found over the years, and I think you probably have also sensed this, that people that reject the truth of Jesus Christ long ago rejected His presence. They rejected His presence. When you see people that are compromising, and I've just read this past week of people that I have known for years who have compromised their faith now. I read about a young man that I went to school with. He's now a Roman Catholic. And they were talking about how horrible it was to be in a Christian college and how blah, 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 went on and on, and how wonderful it was to be believing like he was. He said, I can have a beer anytime I want to have a beer, and I don't have to go to church, and I don't have to have all that pressure on me. What did that individual long ago reject? I want the presence of God. I want to do my own thing. And so he felt all this pressure because his parents made him go to a Christian college, and he didn't like it, and he didn't like the church that he grew up with. Well, the problem was is he's lost. He's just as lost as he can be. He's just not pretending anymore. He long ago left the presence of the Lord. I want nothing to do with that. He was brought into the presence. Christian family that wanted him to be saved, prayed for him. He didn't want that. I don't want the shadow of the Almighty. I want to do my own thing. Always know this, people that walk away from truth long ago had walked away from the presence of God. They wanted nothing to do with it. They didn't want the shadow and the cover of the feathers and wings of Jesus Christ. They wanted to do it on their own. And with that comes a whole host of consequences. And we're gonna continue with this study because there's so many things here that we're told that we are provided under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a whole list of things that I'm going to bring out from this passage of Scripture that are part of that protection. I would imagine if I asked you, would you like protection from an angry bear? Okay? No one would put up their hand and say, I really don't think I need protection. Okay? Well, you know, you might need it. You might need it. You may not have time to run to your truck and get your pistol. All right? You may not outrun this bear. Just like some folks found out up in Yellowstone recently. They're out there taking pictures and so forth, got too close to a cub, and all of them ended up in serious condition in the hospital because that mama bear tore them up. They couldn't get back to the car fast enough. They couldn't outrun that grizzly. You might think you're powerful and you're fast and you're good, but you come up against something that's bigger than you are and faster than you are. Now, first of all, you're in their territory. That didn't register. Oh, these bears are used to people taking pictures of them. Let's get a little closer. Dum-dum. Okay? Stupid. You're going to die. You're going to come up missing your hair. Or worse, you see, we get this power thing that we're good enough, we're strong enough, we're smart enough, we can take on the world and we'll come out on top. No, you won't. You'll be underneath the dominion of the world because the place of power is under the wings of the Almighty. And that's counterintuitive, is it not? I'm going to put myself under the shadow and the feathers and the wings of God. Yes, that's where the power place is. The habitation of the Lord. And we're going to look at these several things, Lord willing, in the future that come about when we put ourselves under the shadow of the Almighty. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us to understand that prayer is much more than just asking a bunch of things of thee. Prayer is actually the access into your presence. To enter into your courts with praise and to be thankful and to dwell in your presence. That's the glory of prayer. It's as close to heaven as we get on this side. Help us to be heavenly minded. Help us to realize that we cannot afford to go 1 second without being in thy presence. Deliver us from selfish pride and arrogance that think we're smarter than you. And help us to realize that the place of power is under your wing and not outside on our own. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be remembering tonight the middle school and the high school students and the teachers. What other prayer requests do we have this evening? Yes. Yes, Richard's been having heart palpitations today, and we want to remember him in prayer. Lord, undertake. Does he have a doctor's appointment scheduled, or is he just handling it through? All right, so let's do pray for Richard. Any other prayer requests? See another hand pop up? Yes, Rob. That's correct. Yes, I got word from Royden and Danielle that flying in and out of the country is almost impossible now. All the major airlines have stopped flying in. Military traffic is very limited. I contacted the Air Force to see if we could get them to fly in some of our medical supplies that we've got sitting down in the print shop, and they said, we're not even flying in. Too dangerous. And so pray for Royden and Danielle and their children and the ministry there. The nation has just sunk into chaos. And just pray for them. It's hard to even know how to help them because there's just no way to get stuff to them. And so pray about that. The Lord would show them They've already had several people offer to try to take them out of country. The problem is, how do they do that? And so we need to just pray that that whole situation will come. There's some question as to whether or not they're going to have Salem Bible Institute this year, because it's so dangerous to travel now in country, and a lot of them don't even have fuel. Fuel is very hard to get on the island now. So let's do pray. Thank you for bringing that up. Anything else? We got a lot of travelers this weekend. I know the Whitneys are going to be away, and others. Let's see, Kevin and Lisa are down in South Florida. All right, so let's remember them as they're travel. Any other travelers this week? All right. Any update, Jimena, on your family members that were battling illnesses, the grandmothers? Praise the Lord. All right, let's do pray for grandmother on your mom's side, right? Dad's side. And then we'll thank the Lord for your grandfather doing much better. Anything else? Yes, Devin. All right, so let's pray for Terry. She has a shoulder, which is it, left side or right side? I think it's left side. Surgery, and this has been in a series of surgeries that she has had, and just pray that that would go well. Do you know what day that's going to be? Wednesday, a week from today, Terry will be having shoulder surgery on her left side, so let's do remember her in prayer. All right, let's go to our prayer groups and remember these requests and our students in middle school and high school.